Question 137. Why smitest thou me? John 18:22-23. One of the officers which stood by struck Jesus with the palm of his hand, saying, Answerest thou the high priest so? Jesus answered him, If I have spoken evil, bear witness of the evil. But if well, why smitest thou me? We don't know who the sycophant to the high priest was who felt the urge and the justification to strike the first blow, but I'm sure he thought of it many times afterward. Up until then, no one had dared to lay a finger on the Savior. Whether it was the fear of God or the reprisal of the people who followed and loved him, it's not clear, probably both. But curiously, no one had the courage to do the deed that many wanted to do. There were times when the religious leaders wanted to stone him, push him from a cliff, scourge him, or strike him. But up until this night, no one ventured it. It was not uncommon to demand and enforce respect to a high priest. Under a theocracy, mind you, a high priest is the highest authority under God himself. Had the Roman occupation never occurred, there would have been no need to take Jesus to any higher court or to anyone else to put him to death. The high priest was the last in the line of authority before God. There had not been a king in Israel since the captivity of Babylon, so like kings, the high priest had the yes-men and bodyguards and officers around them all times, including much pomp and ceremony everywhere they went to reinforce the air of authority. This man who struck Jesus acted on compulsion to correct the lack of respect for this dignitary of Jewish leadership. The idea of demanding respect for the high priest comes from an obscure law in Exodus 22:28, Thou shalt not revile the gods, nor curse the ruler of thy people. The Old Testament usage of the word gods means judges, rulers, and the like, ordained of Jehovah to rule. Paul quoted from this when he ran afoul of this rule before the high priest. All he did was claim that he had lived without violation of the law in his own conscience, thought to be impossible by the council, and by many today. And Paul, earnestly beholding the council, said, Men and brethren, I have lived in all good conscience before God until this day. And the high priest Ananias commanded them that stood by to smite him on the mouth. Then Paul said unto him, God shall smite thee, thou whited wall, for sittest thou to judge me after the law, and commandest me to be smitten contrary to the law? And they that stood by said, Revilest thou God's high priest? Then said Paul, I wist not, brethren, that he was the high priest, for it is written, Thou shalt not speak evil of the ruler of thy people. Paul was fully aware of this law and respected it. It was with this kind of encouragement that the toady of Caiaphas's court took the liberty to strike the face of our Savior. He felt fully justified, but was he? Jesus, knowing the law as he did, was also well aware why the man thought to strike him. But knowing that the law would require speaking evil of the ruler, ask him, If I have spoken evil, bear witness of the evil. But if well, why smitest thou me? In our mind's eye, we can easily envision this man, full of contempt for Jesus, standing close to him in case he opens an opportunity of condemnation. Nervous and fidgety, trembling at times, the coward waits for his opening to strike Jesus. The high priest asks Jesus about his doctrine and of his disciples and is interested in any secret strategies he may be plotting. Jesus simply answers that he did nothing in secret, but what he had said in private, he also said in public. He finishes his statement with, Ask them, pointing to the all-familiar faces that he saw in the synagogue every Sabbath day. They know what I said. The boot-licking worm that hates Jesus so much seizes opportunity to slap that precious face, and so he does. Jesus stands with his arms tied behind him as his cheek reddens and starts to sting, turns to the man and asks him a question in order to turn him inward upon himself and examine the hatred that he has for the Son of God. He wants to know why he hates him so. Being a Jew and waiting for Messiah was all this man ever knew. Did he hate him because Jesus threatened Judaism? Or perhaps it is that Jesus stood there dripping with innocence, condemned their secret sins, motivations, and purposes. Maybe he found himself under conviction just being in the presence of the one who exudes such perfection. There are many things about Christ that could make the wicked uncomfortable simply by being present. There are many attributes of our Savior that bring about a strong reaction on the part of those who get near him. These reactions are caused, for the most part, by fear. The survival instinct that is observable in dogs is evident in man as well. This base animal nature in us only gives us three options when we encounter fear, two of which preserve us as we are, and one very odd option, submission to or compliance with that which makes us afraid, opens us to change. This option is a resignation of sorts, a rolling over and accepting what the one who makes us afraid chooses to do to us. Realizing that we're helpless and hopeless without his mercy, this option, by the way, is salvation. The other two options are fight and flight. Many of us spend our lives running from Christ. It is because he opens our eyes to shortcomings as we never have before been willing to see them in the light of the holiness of God. He opens our eyes to flaws and shortcomings, so we flee what we fear by ignoring or affording no time for thoughts of our condition before God. Those who choose the option of flight are usually very busy with life and have little time, or so they say, for introspection, although their reasons are the same, to turn from the exposition of their sin. The ones, however, who choose fight are as this small man who struck Jesus, trembling, cowering, but nonetheless ready to lash out and hate, defame, or otherwise discredit Christ in any way. Those who choose to fight Jesus wait for their opportunity to do what they so desire to do, strike. In modern day, those who choose to fight take the form of blasphemers. Movies made about the life of Christ, portraying him as a sinful, selfish man, or the academics who attempt to prove he did not do or say the things that the Bible records, are the blasphemers of today. They attempt to take their blows at him, a man whom they consider to be dead now for 2,000 years, and thereby cause insurrection against Christianity altogether. These who stand to fight hate Christ for who he was and who he is today. They strike out at him with curses that contain his name, bumper stickers that blaspheme, jokes that abuse, music lyrics that lampoon, and lives that are nothing less than personifications of Antichrist. Why are they so against God? Why do they hate Christ? These are questions they must answer for themselves, but I think in some cases it's because he and his doctrine threaten the life that they've built for themselves. The church need not cluck their tongue and feel pity for or outrage against these wicked ones who fight the Savior, for the religious are not guiltless in this matter of fighting what exposes their insincerity or tradition. Even the conventional Christian who sees their way of worship, their churches, their system, or their gods threatened, ventures to take a poke at the Savior from time to time to keep him at bay. Remember, the man in our story today that struck Jesus, that started all the uproar and likely started the chain of torturous events, was probably, in his own mind, saving the faith that gave him purpose in life. You may not be able to pinpoint your discontent or disagreement with Christ, but you should. This petty coward wanted nothing to do with a religion that did not utilize priests and religion and temples and hierarchy. The little man was afraid of losing his life to this Galilean carpenter. Perhaps you're afraid of the same. Jesus was so sinless, so puerile, so innocent, so right. This man hated him for reasons deeper than he himself could see, and he shook with rage toward him. Jesus knew this and asked him to look inside for a moment and consider, "If I'm wrong, tell me. But if I'm right, why smitest thou me?"